Hey, welcome to the Beat House. Jeff here.
Hey, Chris here. So good to be back.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
We've
been busy.
Last week, we couldn't do last week simply because life got in the way horribly. But we love you guys for coming back, for reaching out and checking with us. And thank you very much. We're fine. Just things got too busy to sit down and do this.
Yeah.
Is the fact of the matter.
There were extenuating circumstances and, you know, the schedule stuff. It just happens.
But we'll try not to do it too as often as it should happen, but it's going to happen. It's bound to happen every once in a while.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this isn't our full-time job. So we do this as we're able, and that's about the best we can do.
Okay. Anyway, but been a fantastic couple of weeks. A couple weeks ago, we just finished Valkyrie Horn.
Yep.
And last week I went to Texas for a Renaissance Festival. I came back with some honey from Texas.
Yes, you did.
And while at the Valkyrie Horn, you got some mead from a guy in Texas.
Yeah.
That was at the competition. So this is a good show.
Right. We're all over. But you look at the table now between like four or five different varieties of honey and God knows how many bottles of mead. We are spoiled for choice here.
Oh, man. We've got so much going on here. I mean, we ordered some.
Mm-hmm.
And I got some from both Drinking Horn, and we both got some from
From Prairie Rose.
Prairie Rose, that was it. Yeah,
Susan at Susan Rude, fantastic mead maker. She was one of the sponsors at Valkyrie's Horn, and she had a deal going on where, hey, you know, I'll bring your order if you just, you know, set it for pickup or whatever, and write a note. So we did that.
Yeah, and that was a no brainer,
right? Yeah. we've got, you know, commemorative meads from the show that we're going to have to drink soon, I think. And we got a couple of bottles that Tanner gave us to try again.
Yeah, and I got a couple of bottles that I wanted to bring, my Merlot I brought
mm-hmm.
from home. I'm going through my bottles at home. And, oh, I can take that in. Oh, shoot, I forgot to label that one a long time ago. Who knows what it is? I'll bring that one in.
Spoiled for choices, guys, I swear.
Yeah, it's tough life here.
Anyway. Hey, you know, thank you guys for tuning in, listening. We appreciate it so much. The interaction we get with you guys, like getting to chat with so many of you guys at Valkyrie's Horn was awesome.
It's great.
Those of you that are just listening at home that we don't get to interact with in person,
keep the comments coming. Yeah, we love interacting with you guys. It's great. You know, the reason we do this online is because we want to interact with all of you. And it's awesome if we get a chance to meet you, but if we don't, we're still happy you're here.
No, the interaction is that's half the fun of this is just getting to talk to people and find out what they're doing. So
yeah.
The other people, of course, we need to thank
Boxes and Barleycorn.
They have been sponsoring us for well over a year now.
Yeah, and we're so happy about that. They've got everything you need, the passion, the supplies, the ingredients, and the extra help you need when things go sideways a little bit.
Right. Yeah. Anything that, you know, you got a question, you got a concern. You know, I would like to think you and I are pretty experienced when it comes to mead at this point.
We're okay.
We could at least throw an opinion, if not an informed bit of information your way. Bacchus and Barleycorn definitely have the broader scope there, though, as far as beer, absolutely, wine, cider, what have you. So they are a fantastic resource. And hey, you can also use our code MHP10.
Absolutely.
To get 10% off your order.
Apparently, it's your turn. Yeah, to save this
once
time.
In a while, I have to do it.
Okay. Fine with me. Yeah, get 10% off your order and let them know that you are listening to us and their sponsorship is well placed.
Yeah, absolutely. And one more person we got to thank this week for our meat of the week. Comes from Carlos Herrera over at Texas Longhouse Meadery. He heard our episode a few weeks back about piments and was like, hey, I have some piments. And he was kind enough to send us a couple bottles. It turns out one of the two bottles that he sent us, it's not the one we're drinking this week, actually was in a round that I judged at Valkyrie's Horn. And
unknowingly,
he told me about it after the fact, after he got my comment sheet. He thought it was amusing as hell. I thought it was too. It scored pretty darn well. But this is the other one that he sent me. This is Tears Vindru. Vindru is is it Danish or Norwegian for grape? Wine grape, specifically, apparently.
It is a deep, deep purple. Well, yeah. I told you call it red, but that's purple.
You hold it up to a light, you get the red. It is
on the edges.
It has a level of opacity to it that I would tie in with purple. Let's see. Government warning contains sulfites. That's not helpful. Tyr is known for his courage. Get better light here. Tyr is known for his courage and strength in the face of adversity. Tyr was the only Norse god brave enough to place his hand in the wolf Fenrir's mouth to prove no jokes were going to be played against the wolf. In the end, the wolf was chained up with the strongest chains, and in retaliation, Fenrir bit off Tyr's hand for betraying him. It's a Malbec with avocado blossom honey, aged on oak. And it's dry and still.
All right. Well, first of all, this flavor, the smell, the odor is solid. I mean, it's not, it doesn't jump at you. You have to smell for it.
I love a good Malbec, though, and this.
Oh, it's a very deep, earthy, fruity flavor.
Mm-hmm. It's that dark red fruit kind of right on the nose.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
I don't know if I get a lot of honey on the nose. There's a kind of a touch of sweetness to it, but.
There are no legs on the glass. I don't see any anyway.
I mean, it's hard to tell with these glasses. As I've said so many times before, I just dishwasher clean. I don't do the very fine level of cleaning that a lot of wine glasses do. And these are just basic drinking glasses.
I'm good with that.
Yeah, yeah.
It is dry. Again, I'm not a dry guy, but this is, it's not a biting dry. It's a smoother dry than I would have thought it would have been for being a dry mead. This is.
Mm-hmm.
And getting more of that honeyness on the back of the tongue.
Yeah, to me it comes in like mid-palate to kind of the. I don't want to say it's a sweetness.
It's not a sweetness.
This is a dry.
This is a dry meat. I mean, there's nothing about it that's per se sweet, but you have that feel.
And it feels, to be honest, with the barrel aging and the tannin from the red grape character, it almost feels a little drier than I'm used to even from Malbec wine.
Really? They're usually drier than this?
No, this is a little drier than I'm used to for a Malbec.
Wow, okay.
Usually they come off as like an off-dry kind of semi-sweet instead of, this is definitely in the dry range.
There's no semi-sweet here. This is dry.
But it's still got, it's such a smooth level of dry.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it hardly bites. I mean, it's a very light bite on the dryness, but the mouthfeel is very full.
I know we just had lunch before we started recording.
Well, it was important.
But I need a steak.
Is that kind of drink, huh?
Give me a medium rare steak with just some fresh black pepper and some salt on it, and I think we're good. I think this is it. Yeah.
Hey, Carlos, this is...
Cheers.
This is fantastic. Good. Especially for, giving it to a guy who doesn't like dry, and I'm sitting here going, yeah, this is not going to survive.
Yeah. We're going to finish this.
Yeah, we're going to finish this one.
There was very little doubt, but we have confirmed.
Yeah. All right. So, like I said, I went to Texas and brought back some honey.
Yeah.
Now, they had a place there, and it's Cloven Hive was the name of the place, and they had enough types of honey that I refused to look around the store because I would have bought a lot. The first thing my wife goes, hey, look at that right there. Meadowfoam honey. Right next to it, avocado honey. Right next to that, radish honey. I stopped looking. I bought those three.
That sounds prudent, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First of all, I didn't want to carry out, mind you, the I got like 6 ounces of two of them. And 9 ounces of the blackberry blossom because blackberry, I love that. But I got a radish, a metal foam, and the blackberry. And if I would have looked more, I would have bought more. And that's going to weigh me down really fast.
Yeah, no kidding. Honey is not a light object. It is dense. And therefore, when you pay to get it shipped, you pay for the...
But I have saved myself to this point. I haven't tried them up to now. And I'm starting with the metal foam. Yeah, it's you can taste the marshmallow, the smoothness.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a nice, deep marshmallow flavor. Very good. I mean, it's exactly what I expected out of a metal foam.
Right. This is, and we'll talk a little later, but metal foam has that reputation for a reason, I think.
Yeah. And the next one I'm going to try is the radish, which I didn't know there was a radish blossom on it.
Yeah, call me crazy, but I didn't think they grew radishes in big enough quantity to really, have a dedicated varietal,
I will tell you that, you know, I didn't, because I couldn't stop myself from looking a little bit around the wine shop. They had fireweed.
Nice.
They, you know, and, you know, the more I looked around, the more I'm sitting here, I've got to get out of here. Or A, I'm going to be broke, and B, I'll be so burdened down, I'll need a wagon. But this is the radish, lost money. It was a bit thicker.
It was more dense. It's almost got a little bit of a grain to it.
It's not floral.
No.
It's, I don't know what it is, but it's, okay, mind you, it's good, but I don't know what it is. It's.
It has almost like a, almost woodsy in a very light kind of way. It's not exactly what I would call malty.
Well, it's not malty.
But it has that kind of a, like a light maple wood kind of character.
The maple wood, yeah. I can taste it now that you brought it. I could not find words for it. It's a very light colored honey, but yeah, it's, it doesn't taste like radish, thankfully, because that would be really bizarre with the sweetness of honey.
That would be weird.
But it's very good. Now, if Cloven Hive happens to catch this program, and you want us to sample any of the other stuff on air, by all means, let us know. We'll be glad to see what we can do with that, because...
No, we're not proud. We'll accept sponsorships for honey.
Yeah, well, honey, yeah, we have... You know, if you truckers out there want to unload some honey, let us know. Anyway,
you know, I heard about the 12 tons of Kit Kats that disappeared in Europe a week or two ago.
Right? Yeah,
I mean
that was on April 1st. I don't know if it was April Fool's or not, but it sounded pretty legit. But yeah, you know, I wouldn't. You know, I try to make a Kit Kat meat.
I'm just saying we could make 12 tons of honey disappear.
Really fast.
Well, we could find a space for it really fast. Yeah, yeah. Making it actually disappear would take some time.
Yeah, but, you know, public storage is a thing. Anyway, this is the blackberry blossom honey now I'm trying.
And this is more of that. It's a little malty. It's a kind of a little fruity as well.
Oh, I like that one. That's my favorite one so far.
I don't remember if it was I think it was actually a raspberry honey that... my former co-host Aaron had made a braggot with, I think, that turned out real nice. And I think blackberry honey would kick butt in a braggot.
Ooh, so, yeah.
Like, light.
Yeah, that'd be good. So that's the honey I brought back. And I just want to do a shout out. Now, this is not a sponsored shout out. This is just Cloven Hive. Good people that I met at the, where I went there, and they had really good, not barely, they have really good honey because they didn't sample, and people were buying like crazy. So they are known.
You know what you like. You know what you like.
Yeah.
Did you get to try the avocado blossom?
I have not. Yeah.
Let's go ahead and. I was cleaning out the garage like I do, trying to make some more space in here and make this a little bit more studio like. This is an ongoing process. but I found.
And you're not busy at all in your life. No.
I'm a little less busy these days than I was before. But
yeah. Nonetheless.
So I was. Kicking around, I found my tilt hydrometers. I found my my brew gun.
This is a much heavier honey. Now, it's not bad. I made a face just now because it was a sharper flavor than I was anticipating.
Right.
It's got a bitter to it, too.
A level. It is very earthy. It's almost like... It's almost got a dirt quality to it, except
yeah.
It's also sweet.
And that's a great way... Now, mind you... It is avocado blossom honey, and it's not. Is it good? Yes, it's good. I would not put this in a general light mead. I'd put this in a heavier, like a spiced mead or the piments.
The piment we're drinking right now has avocado blossom honey in it,
and that's exactly where it belongs. It's heavier. It's not bad.
No, the red grape in this can definitely hold its own against the avocado blossom. But if you were doing got any kind of light flavoring?
A traditional or any fruited? You're gonna be struggling.
Well, if it's just a traditional, then it's just the avocado blossom, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
yeah, okay,
yeah, it's gonna be a strong traditional, is what you were saying.
Yeah.
But if you're using it to back sweeten a traditional, it's gonna overtake any lighter quality honey. And likewise, like you know, throwing that in a lychee mead
would be a horrible idea.
You're wasting all your money on the lychees because that they're just not going to translate.
But is it good honey? Yes, it is a good honey. It's a very strong flavored honey, and you act accordingly.
No, yeah. I think the Malbec we're drinking right now, it works.
Yeah, works really well.
The and now that I've tasted some of that and I'm tasting the Malbec again, I am picking up more of that character aftertaste, right?
Yeah.
It shows itself a little bit more now that I'm like, oh yeah, that is what I'm thinking of.
Now I know where that flavor came from, the Malbec.
Mm-hmm. The other thing, like, I really like avocado balsam, and I've had a couple times, is like a stout braggot. The darker grains, kind of, you get the chocolatey or coffee notes in there. It plays real nice with those. So, is it for every mead? No. Yeah. Is it a damn good one for the right mead?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. Now, one of the things I want to talk to Jeff about today is, coming back from Valkyrhorn, one of our, it's not really a gripe, but a minor peeve, mm-hmm. is... So many people use metal foam.
For a number of years now, metal foam has been kind of, it's almost like a cheat code, to the point where I started calling it metal foam, as in
you can get a metal
for putting the honey in your, and it's, metal foam is not a cheap honey by any stretch. I've seen prices all over the board for it, $20, $30 a pound, and it's relatively limited availability when you can get it.
And most of it's on the north. West part of the country?
I believe it's Pacific Northwest is where it's primarily coming from, like Oregon and Washington, places like that.
But, and until now, I had not tasted metal foam, and I'm grabbing a little bit more right now. Metal foam has a delicate, delicate flavor. It's got a very complex marshmallow flavor,
mm-hmm.
and the sweetness is fairly light overall. Right. So... Just throwing it in a random batch of mead, you're doing the honey a disservice, in my opinion.
Well, and I think putting it in primary to where you're losing some of that character of the sweetness that goes with it is a little bit of a risky move.
Mm-hmm.
I see a lot of people, I've tasted a lot of people that have obviously back sweetened with it. I'm not sure it's been the primary honey that they started with, to be honest. It may just be the most apparent, like, honey that it's been back sweetened or finished with.
Yeah, I did have the privilege of trying a metal foam honey that the primary was metal foam,
mm-hmm.
which I don't know how much they made. I got a chance, opportunity to try a little bit of a bottle, and I could not taste marshmallow. It was completely lost in the primary fermentation.
Do you remember, was it like a dry or a sweet? Or
it was a sweet.
Okay.
It was a sweet.
Interesting.
But there was... I could not taste any marshmallow. I don't know if he back sweetened it or cut the process short before it took all the sugar out, but it was a semi-sweet. And it was actually at Valkyrhorn, I think, the one before this last one.
Okay, yeah.
Two events ago. And I was really excited to try it, and I tasted no marshmallow whatsoever. And that's when I came to the conclusion with you talking to you about it, is they probably put it in primary.
Yeah, that's...
And it was, for me, it was very disappointing. It was horribly disappointing because I was really looking forward to that.
And metal foam has that reputation, you know.
It
reputation preceded it, where it's like, oh yeah, this is an expensive honey, and you're going to get that metal foam character from it. But
it didn't, and that particular mead did not win a medal. The reason I had the opportunity to try it and kind of analyze it a little bit is because it didn't go to finals. Was it a bad mead? No. But I would have gotten the exact same thing as if I just got my generic Costco honey and made mead. It wasn't really substantially different.
And that's kind of a kick in the pants when you're paying $20 a pound for
honey.
I mean, that was, even if they made a gallon of that, that's probably at least $50 worth of honey in there.
Yeah. And you know, I don't know who made it. I don't know where it came from. Don't know if it was amateur. Don't know if it was professional. Don't know anything about it. However, they cheated themselves at a bunch of levels, to be honest.
Well, and I think the comment that we were discussing on the way back that really made it this a topic of interest is kind of the metal foam fad is a little bit fading these days. It's no longer the automatic win,
and
because it's kind of been it's
been proliferated. Done.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll be honest, in my opinion, nothing should be an automatic win, no matter what you put in.
Absolutely.
Blueberries, metal foam, anything you put in. Should not be. What you should be aiming for is a good mead. If you get the characteristics you want out of it, and you win a medal, boogle. But work for those characteristics, because I am still in the process of trying to do my banana fluffernutter mead.
Sorry.
I am not sorry. I am having a, you know... the first two failures, I'm sitting here, damn it. But now I'm sitting here, okay, now it's personal. Mm-hmm. I'm going to beat you at this. So here we go.
Some bitch.
And I've gone back to using bananas in my mead because I got better results from making my chocolate banana with the flavor of the banana I wanted by overusing bananas in it.
Makes sense.
I got one of my 3-gallon carboys and just started on that one. I'm making an excessive amount of banana. And I'm going to get maybe, once it all filters out, I'm probably going to get maybe a gallon and a half of meat because I put so many bananas in it.
Makes about sense. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, half of what is in my plastic carboy is banana because I'm taking it personally. but I am getting milk foam to back sweeten for the marshmallow flavor. But thankfully, because I've learned from you, I don't need a lot of back sweetening to get that characteristic out after primary, after the yeast has been killed and we're ready to go. So I'm probably going to save myself a chunk of money right there just by not having to put in 7-8 pounds of metal foam.
Right. I mean, if we're talking about a gallon or two finished product, a pound or two is going to do all you really need to, I think. Could be wrong.
Yeah, but we'll see. Mm-hmm. And if it comes out and says, oh, I need more metal foam and I don't have any more metal foam, I'm capping it. I'm putting a fresh airlock on it, and I'm going to order some, probably from Cloven Hive. I need more. Send it, you know. And that's okay. Now, other things, like I said earlier, another thing that used to be give you higher odds, a cheat code for mead was like blueberry. I think you said that one time. Was it blueberry or?
The one that I remember before metal foam was Tupelo Blossom Honey.
Tupelo Blossom Honey. That was one of them.
And Tupelo is a light mead. It's very sweet and it has almost a buttery character to it. I hardly ever see it anymore because it is still very expensive.
It's expensive. And,
it is another one of those. It's a small region that it grows in. I think it's like Georgia and Florida, kind of around that border area. And it's
Florida Panhandle and Appalachia River Basin is the primary production area. So there you go. Again, a very area specific honey. I've had Tupelo. Mm-hmm. It's delightful. I've had the raw honey. I've had a Tupelo mead. Both were very nice. I truly believe in competition, having a varietal that's really, really popular and shows really big promise should not be your goal.
It's a mixed bag, I think. On the one hand, if like in your case, you're making the Fluffernutter mead and you're actively looking for the marshmallow character you get with the metal foam. Mm-hmm. Something will be lost in the sauce if it isn't there. You're going to have to come up with that marshmallow flavor some other way, or it's just not going to read right. You're going to get banana peanut butter, and that still might be delightful.
But it's not what I'm after.
Right.
But I'm tailoring the honey to what I'm doing, not tailoring the mead to the honey.
Right.
For a metal. I've decided that I'm not actively going for metals. I'm going for really cool meads. Because it took so much pressure off.
I'm kind of in the same way. I kind of realized at one point, every time I'm entering these competitions, I'm spending entry fees, and I'm usually spending somewhere in the neighborhood of like 30, 50 bucks shipping all my bottles over there in a way that's only kind of semi-legal in this country in the first place, and, pressuring myself. And at the end of the day, I'm having way more fun judging than I am competing, because otherwise I'm just kind of waiting and refreshing the page. So reprioritize, Jeff.
Yeah. But, but I truly believe tailoring what you're doing to what you want is more important than finding, hey, I've got this really cool cheat code. Let's see if I can get a metal.
Putting it in a cherry or a blackberry mead just to be like, hey, it's cherry marshmallow. It's blackberry marshmallow. It might be a fantastic mead. And I'm sure that there are some, cherry and or blackberry meads with metal foam honey that have won awards that were deserving of the award.
Oh, yeah. I'm never going to say that metal foam did not deserve those medals. It's a fantastic honey.
The novelty of it, I think, is where we were seeing so much of it come up.
Yeah. People say, I want to win a medal, so I'm using what's won so many medals before is not my goal anymore. If it's your goal, I hope you win a medal. Get past that. But let's make better honey. Better mead.
So do you, from what you got to sample this year, and I granted we sampled very different things because we were you were in
Yeah, I was in
the
the tent,
cellar room, so you got all kinds of stuff to try,
man.
and it was a little bit chaotic, I'm
Oh,
sure.
God, it was so bad.
Whereas I was doing specific flights. Did you see anything on your side that felt like it's taking Metafoam's place as kind of the fad this year?
The darker honeys.
Okay.
We had I but the people I was working with, the ones that were now, I'm not like the Pimans, but like there was one with the blue I talked about before with the blueberry black sugar flavors, and we were saying, "Ooh, this is nice." And more of the heavier flavors were we were having more fun with those than a lot of the regulars, like the light traditionals or the lightly fruited or even some of the spiced ones.
Well, then I think that specific one with like the black sugar, that was actually more of an extract related one than
Yeah,
an actual flavor,
it probably
but
was, but still we got better reactions out of heavier, darker, quote unquote, flavors than did we like some of the light ones? Yeah, absolutely. There were a lot of really good meads there. And I'll be honest, we were enjoying the hobbyist, the amateur level, far more than the professional level.
I mean, it was a hard toss up for me because, like, I think I've said it before, I will say it again. When you get to the amateur level in competitions, you see wider swings. People throw in stuff that will fail hard, but they will also throw in stuff that is fantastic and is impossible to do at commercial scale. By the same token, like we were talking about Carlos's mead from Texas Longhouse. I judged that morning, the first session I was sitting down to judge, and I awarded scores in the 40s for like four different meads out of a flight of six. I don't know that I awarded that many 40 plus scores for all of the flights I did for amateur. It was a solid competition for the commercial side this
It
year.
was an, and this year was an amazing competition. I mean, yes, we all have the there'll always be meads there that are, oh, why did you enter? It went bad. Something happened. It was horrible. But there are so many more great ideas coming out now. And we talked about, a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about the pineapple habanero. And, I'm going to be grabbing, in the very, very near future, I'm going to be grabbing some mango and pineapple. We're going to grill it and we're sticking it in a batch. Because,
For sure.
when this fall comes around, I can go to the city market and I can grab so many habaneros, it's not even funny. That for me, that would be one. That's not funny.
Plenty,
It'd be
yeah.
plenty, yeah.
Well, I mean, we deseed those and we get the ribs and stuff out, and
Yeah,
it's
with
a
the,
lot more friendly in
yeah,
flavor.
and I'll have my full hazmat suit on when we do that, so.
Oh, I didn't tell you about the little cocktail thing I made. I was fooling around with some making some sweet lime for my wife's gimlets, and I ended up with a lot of lime zest. And so I made some limoncello with the lime zest.
Jeez.
And I read about making in limoncello. They recommend putting things like grape leaves or black peppercorns for
No.
a little rounding out the flavor. And so I did that with one of the jars I made. And then I had another jar, and I was like, well, I want to do something different with this. I just don't know what. And I was looking at my spice rack, and you know what I saw up there?
Chili peppers?
Aleppo pepper.
Aleppo pepper, okay.
And it's so I made an Aleppo pepper limoncello. And it's not a strong pepper flavor, but it's just like the slightest tingle after you swallow. It's really interesting. And it like there are some kind of pepper flavors where, if you sample again and again and again, it starts to build up on you. This is kind of the opposite. The burn kind of just you stop noticing it after two or three drinks. So
Okay, now I'm going to do a shout out here. I don't know if these two people are listening, but Layla, Alan, I gave you a recipe once upon a time to make your own lemon solo because you asked me to, and I was more than happy to do it. Aleppo pepper. Make a lime solo or a lemon solo and Aleppo pepper and black pepper kernels. Is that what you said?
Black peppercorns.
Black peppercorns?
Usually, like for a quart jar, I think they recommended it's a small amount of black peppercorn, like 6 to 10. Not
But
very much at all.
and how long did you leave it
About a month, give or take.
in? Okay. But Alan, Layla, you said you liked making your lemon solo, last I heard. So there you go. And I'm definitely going to call you and tell you about this show coming up.
And I think, honestly, if I make the Aleppo pepper limoncello again, I'm putting more Aleppo in there. I want a little bit more of that burn because it's a fun, interesting thing.
How big is the burn?
Minor.
Okay.
I would say it's over in 10 to 15 seconds.
Okay, so I could do it.
Then. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, my palate may be a little bit more...
tolerant.
Right, of burn than yours. It may still go, oh, hot. But it's not... It's a pretty minor amount of spice. But...
So, well, I can sometimes handle a medium salsa. So if that in mind, could I handle this?
I think so.
Okay.
Well, you could at least get a little quart glass of it and call it good.
Okay, we'll do that then.
As far as like my thoughts on the fads, though, kind of circling back to our topic, the one that I picked up this year that seemed to be like the one that was buzzing, the one that was going around, Amburana instead of oak.
Amburana, yes. And now that you brought it up, I've forgotten about that. But yeah, we saw a lot more of that this year, which, awesome.
Mm-hmm. It's a fun one. In the right context, yeah. It's fun.
Well, okay, the context I heard, when you overdo it, you taste like you're eating Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Not even necessarily when you overdo it, but that it can taste that way. And unfortunately, you know, one of the guys that I was judging with pointed that out and went, well, damn it.
Now it's in my head. Now you're in my head, yep.
Now every time I taste it, it's like Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Yep.
Oh, it's a cherry Amburana. It's a cherry Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
I'll be honest, that doesn't sound bad to me.
No, in the right context, like the cinnamon, like sweet and cinnamon and kind of that little, that character to it. It's delightful. It's perfect for mead.
Mm-hmm. But like you said before, keep it in mind.
Mm-hmm. And also, you know, this is one of those things where if it gets overdone, it gets overdone.
Yeah.
You just get tired of it. So, you know, moderation is the key.
Yes.
But will I listen to myself and moderate?
Probably not. Neither will I. Mm-hmm. But, you know, okay. So Amburana, yeah, that's a,
yeah,
that could be, honestly, the way the way things looked, because now that you mentioned it, we were a lot more of that this year. That may be the next big push it needs.
Well, and who knows how long these fads last. I mean, yeah. Meadowfoam was a durable one, like 3 or 4 years. I saw lots of Meadowfoams, and I think it's kind of petering out. I think it's kind of been, I don't want to say done to death. I'm sure we'll still get Meadowfoam in quite a few competitions.
And I would love to see it.
Mm-hmm. Done right. It's great.
Yeah, that's great.
It felt overdone. And we're okay. Well, it's a Meadowfoam. Got to give it a medal now.
Yeah, but no.
Sigh.
But now, well, actually, the good news is once the fad runs out, people will still use the ingredients, but they also know, am I going to get a medal? Maybe, maybe not. This goes right back to you're making an art, make it a good one. But anyway, we have a lot to do in upcoming episodes. And one thing I would like to start talking to some master mead makers, mm-hmm. which, by the way, that mead quiz, the mead trivia quiz, when there's that many master mead makers in a room, that's unfair to people like me.
And yet
we got second. And yet we got second. So Google for the man here that could help us with Polish.
We got 8 points just from my cursory knowledge of the Polish language. Cheers, guys.
Yeah, cheers, guys. Anyway, but send us your questions. And Jeff and I have talked. We're talking about doing some TikToks and some videos.
Yeah, just
to show
different stuff.
Have what fun. We do. What would you like to see? You've got to let us, you know, if you don't want to see it, guys, we really don't want to waste the time making it if it's not something that's important to you. Now, saying, if one person says, I want to see this, and nobody else says that, that doesn't mean it's not important. So tell us what you want. Give us a direction. Let's see what we can do to help you guys out, because this is, honest to goodness, we just want to make everybody's mead better.
Right. And if it is a little bit ridiculous, that's cool.
I mean,
there is no shortage of ridiculous mead content on the internet already.
So. Yeah. Who would possibly want to make a banana fluffer nutter? Come on. Actually, I'm looking for a way to make a pie crust-like flavor in underscore the mead. So I can make like lemon cream
mm-hmm.
pie mead.
We'll talk.
Okay.
I've got some ideas for that.
Well, excellent. So that'd be awesome. Okay. Anyway, guys, so thank you for joining us today. We gave you a few ideas. You know, we're going to keep continuing looking for things like the honeys and the meat houses and such like that, see what we can talk about. But looking for your input, and we really appreciate you tuning in with us. So
yeah, absolutely. Shoot us a message. Again, you know, what do you want to see? What could be fun to talk about? Have we said stupid stuff that we need to remediate immediately? You know, info@themeathouse.com. Find us on Facebook, and, you know, maybe we will look at, again, we should probably look at more social media sites a little bit more.
Only because, you know, sometimes it's nice to put a face with the sound of their voice.
Just spread the word.
Spread the word.
More than anything else. Yeah. I mean, we're active on Facebook. And that's about it. And at one point we were on Twitter, now X. I'm not sure I want to be on Twitter these days. It's kind of...
I don't think that's really our ballywick right there.
All right. Yeah, it's kind of... It's gotten a little weird.
A little strange out there.
But, you know, there is also Instagram. There's TikTok. There's YouTube Shorts and all kinds of different stuff we could be kicking around on. And so...
So talk to us. Yeah. Talk to us. What do you want to see?
Is it ridiculous? Okay. We'll hear it out. Is it stupid?
We're still going to hear it out.
Is it just, hey, I want information on XYZ, or you guys said something totally wrong about, you know, ABQ? Cool. Okay. Yeah. We'll hear you out.
Call us out. We'll hear you out. But guys, happy meeting. Have a great day. Have a good weekend.
And another thanks to Carlos Herrero
Carlos,
Texas Longhouse for
you rock.
The free meet.
Oh my gosh, this is good. Take care. Happy meeting, guys.